Welcome to Series 2, Episode 5 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the 5th episode of our second series of Encounter Points. I'm Bill Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Hellenius.
Last week we talked about silence, and this week's show will be in several acts.
Wait a minute, that sounds like something Ira Glass says every week.
Act fast, Ken. Time is running out. How are you? This is Bill Schmidt here.
Well, this is Ken Hellenius here, Bill Schmidt, all the way across table from you, the beautiful Southbrook Studios. How's it going?
They are beautiful. Everything is going great, and it's good to be teaming up again for another episode of Encounter Points, and especially now in our series of podcasts we're doing about incarnational piety, and especially focusing on sacramentals and all the ways that we put our sacramental life and our life of spiritual closeness to the Lord into action.
Action.
Action is the word of the day for episode, if we may.
All right, Action Jackson, hit us.
Action Jackson, that's me. So what we're doing in this episode, if we may, Ken, is really turning from the last episode that dealt beautifully, I thought, with meditation and reflection and contemplation, and especially in the form of time for silent prayer in the liturgy and time for meditative prayer through the rosary and et cetera. So that was a very important part of our sacramentality, part of our life with the sacraments, and part of our life with sacramentals. I thought that we could just add a few words on behalf of the activity level that's actually very much a part of our use of sacramentals and very much a part of our faith life. It's to the point where we even use the term act in our spiritual lives, the Catholic Church especially, we don't hesitate to call a lot of what seems to be kind of quiet, inactive spirituality, we boldly call those things acts and the active spiritual life. And it's kind of neat, isn't it? Because it gives us a chance to express that incarnational aspect of our relationship with the Lord in a very tangible way that's not the fingering of beads so much as something that could really engage our whole bodies or simply be engaging our mind to the point of deepening our commitment or making our faith life tangibly richer.
Well, I need you to make this a little more concrete for me, ironically.
Fair enough.
What do you mean when you say an act?
Oh,
like
boy.
A prayer that is an act.
Yeah, I think at least in the Catholic definition, which I don't have verbatim in my research, I would say that it's a pretty broad definition. It can be something that's silent or
like,
something
but
that's
like,
passive.
What's an example
in
of
appearance?
One?
Well, for instance, think of the act of contrition.
Okay.
Yeah, the act of contrition it's a prayer.
Right.
And most people might not think of a prayer as active, but
especially one that's recited by just one person at a time.
Exactly.
Right?
We're often seated or kneeling at the time.
And thank God it's printed on a little card right there for the most part, right?
Right.
My God, I am hardly sorry for all my sins. That one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a good example of a prayer being called an act, because it truly is that deepening of commitment, that interaction with the sacrament of reconciliation.
It's concretizing the fact that we are sorry for our sins in that moment.
That's why you use the word concretizing. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yes, that's right. It very much is something that makes it real for us, makes it real as an encounter with the priest, and then challenges us to take it out of the church building, as it were, and make all of the graces received through these acts something that's actually
changing our
lives. Changing our lives and other people's lives.
Yeah. No, I like that. And what it reminds me of course, is that during the RCIA process, somebody who's being received into full communion in the church makes an act of faith in which they recite publicly that they do believe everything that the Holy Catholic Church teaches.
That's great. Yeah.
And so that is called an act of faith, and it is a public, concrete statement.
Yes, right.
That though it is indeed just one person saying this, and in the words of a prayer, they are actually doing something that is making a difference.
I love it. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense to me then, when we might think of prayers as acts.
Yes. You know, we think of portions of plays, drama pieces, scripts of various sorts. We think of them as acts.
Yeah, act one, act two.
Yeah. And that too would be a very interesting study in semantics and etymology of such a word.
Even our colleagues at This American Life, on their show, they refer to act one.
That's right.
You know, blah,
that's
blah, blah, right. A story, and then act two, another story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do wonder where, what the etymology of that is and why those would be called acts, because it's not just one thing taking place, but it's a setting up of a story. And in what way does that affect, like, in our spiritual life? How is saying the act of contrition like an act of a play? Is it?
Oh, well,
it's certainly the end of this sinful portion of my life and the beginning of a new opening to grace right now in this sacrament, right?
Yes, yes.
Maybe?
Well, I think it's all
folk
about
etymology is what we're doing right now.
That, yeah, very good. Yes. And it's basically built on relationship. A relationship dies very quickly if it's not centered on action. Mm-hmm. And so,
The old Extreme song, More Than Words.
Indeed.
It's a song from when I was in high school, and I always used to think of my girlfriend being like, oh, more than words, you know. And the whole point was, no, I mean, love is words plus actions.
Very good. Yeah. Mostly when I would start singing such songs, they would say, be silent, Bill. And so they said, no action here, please.
Yeah, no, move along.
Move along. Yeah. But think of just the building up of a relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. as an act at all times, interacting with sacramentals. We'll go into this much more in future episodes. And I think it's part of something that perhaps our Protestant brothers and sisters and people in other faiths might find confusing about Catholics. You know, why do we have these statues and holy water and
oils, all of these things. Yeah.
Yes.
Icons.
It's largely because these things are part of relationship building and are therefore active and are therefore part of the every day, every minute, hopefully, building up of a relationship with God. The reading of scripture, mm-hmm. is not passive but active, because you're interacting there and receiving
in an ideal
the word
world,
of the Lord.
Of course, we need
right.
to recognize
yeah,
that.
Well, that's the key with everything we're saying here. We call these acts and we think of interactivity with sacraments and sacramentals, but we have to actualize
yes.
what we're saying, right? And so often it's easy to just go through the action.
Right. And that's what we call it, right? Going through the actions.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're not actually engaging.
That's right.
It's
Isn't
funny.
That
I just said when we're not actually engaging.
I know. But
it's so hard to separate, you know.
Yeah, the word is there in so many other derivative words. But too often, you know, we think of very mindless tasks as active. You know, the playing of a video game or something like that.
Right.
But in a real sense, that moment of busyness is actually...
Mind-numbing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. In the spiritual sense, it's much more passive.
You know, it's related to what we were talking about last week. In some ways, when I think of the rosary, I think of the beads in my hand as occupying my body. So that I can be free in my mind to meditate upon the mystery.
Right.
So my lips are moving, my fingers are holding the beads and moving along. I'm not conscious of those things while I'm thinking about the crowning with thorns,
yeah.
when I'm thinking about the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles at Pentecost.
Yeah.
All of these actions,
right.
which to somebody looking outside, they're like, well, he's moving his lips and he's moving the beads. That's not... everything that's going on.
Right.
But they're all of a piece.
Right.
I need to do those things with my body, the moving of the lips and the moving of the beads, in order to be able to be freed, in order to do the meditation.
Yes.
And I'm reminded of one other thing, and that is the motto of the Dominicans, and I'm always going to be able to bring it back to the Dominicans. That's how I
write. Right on.
One of the mottos is to contemplate and to give to others the fruits of your contemplation.
Right.
It's this idea that we spend time with Christ, with God, in contemplation, in reflecting upon, in receiving, and in being in communion with God. But then we take that very individual thing and we share it with others through preaching. Okay? Preaching is very much an active role, whether it be from a pulpit, or whether it be in the acts of, you know, the acts of mercy,
right.
you know, the spiritual works of mercy.
Right.
Whatever form of preaching we are taking is giving to others. It flows from what we've gained in our active role of contemplation. That,
exactly.
So,
yeah.
And it's this combination the Dominicans talk about being, you know, active contemplatives.
Yes, contemplatives in action. I've heard that phrase. Yeah. And... That's very important. So it really does mean that our sacramentals are active, our sacraments are active, our liturgy is active.
I mean, even the very definition of the sacraments, right?
Yes.
Is that they are actions that actually do what they signify.
Yes, yes. And how contrarian that is to a world where so much of our busyness is really just being a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more passive than being a spectator, even if you're, you know, you're dressed up in your favorite team's makeup and gear and all of this stuff.
Your pennant.
Yes, and, you know, you're having your hot dog or whatever. But it's ultimately... quite passive and
or even scrolling through your Instagram feed or your
Facebook
feed and just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and always consuming and never contributing.
Right. Yes. So I just thought that it would be good in this episode to immediately juxtapose. There's a good word, right? To juxtapose what we were talking about regarding meditation and reflection with the essential high level of activity that is so much a part of our faith, and how it helps to call these things acts and to think of them as interactive relationships especially so that when we're sitting in the pew at Sunday Mass, we don't slip into that motif of being just a spectator.
Right.
But realize that we're called here at this moment and in just about every moment to be an active participant, an active rememberer, mm-hmm. an active re-engager and re-encounterer with Jesus and with our brothers and sisters through the graces that we're getting directly through the sacraments. And we're being reminded of and re-nurtured by in the sacramentals. So that was my connection to idea of activity and incarnational piety and sacramentals.
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. It wasn't just an act. I promise you that.
Was it Stanislavski who said that acting is to do truthfully under imaginary circumstances? Well, I'm going to act like I was engaged with you the whole time.
Very good. Well, it works for me.
I'm a terrible person. I apologize. Bill, I look forward to seeing you next week when I think we're going to pick up this conversation with things that we do touch.
Yes, indeed. Lots of activity coming up in our future episodes.
And smelly things soon.
Oh, wow. So I'm
just going to tease you with
talk
that.
Talk about a teaser.
Smelly things.
Talk about a teaser. Our audience will stand by for action.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for joining us for these conversations. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.